Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast, where we blend the art of appraising with a touch of insight and a dash of humor. Whether you're a trainee, a seasoned professional, or just curious about the appraisal world, you've come to the right place. So grab your favorite brew, relax, and join us for some expert tips, real-world stories, and valuable advice to help grow your appraisal business. I'm your host, Dan Lindemann, certified appraiser serving South Florida for over 20 years. Hey, so welcome, appraisers. Today, our guest is Chris Miller, business partner with ReferAppraisals.com. And today, we wanted to talk about professionalism. You know, building this network, I've been dealing with lots and lots of appraisers from around the country. And I feel like this episode is much needed because a lot of appraisers don't come off professional to colleagues. So that's what we want to talk about today. What's going on, Chris?
Oh, just finishing my work day and ready to talk a little bit about professionalism. And this is an important topic as a business owner myself. And many years I've realized how important it is to be out there and have professional standards. So looking forward to this conversation. And I've learned a lot about the business of appraising the last year in working with you on this platform, and there's some interesting things we can talk about for sure when it comes to professionalism.
Yeah, I don't want to lose the irony here. We are having some drinks, but it is late on a Friday when we're recording this.
It's happy hour.
Yeah, during the day we are professional, but for this podcast, it's very laid back, and that's what I wanted to come up, the podcast come across is very laid back for appraisers. It's not nothing to be taken too seriously with personally, us on the podcast, but regarding professionalism, absolutely. In my professional business, I am try to keep myself to that high standard, and I think it shows. So let's start. What's professionalism? What do you got? You said you came up with a definition.
Yeah, you know, professionalism to me, and you know, and I've been in business for 25 plus years, and to me, professionalism is being consistent, you know, having integrity, showing competence in what you do, showing confidence. That's something that I learned about professionalism. If you are not confident in what you're giving your client and you waffle on things or you're not giving straightforward answers or honest answers, you can come across as very unprofessional, but also just giving the respect of individuals. My previous business experience, I owned a home healthcare company for 11 years, and I know home health is different in a lot of ways than appraising, but I was going into people's homes all the time, and I had to go into people's homes that often didn't want me there. I had to do assessments of, let's say, an elder person in a home where they were living with their children, and the elder person didn't want me there. And so it was very important to put on a professional demeanor to, you know.
Yeah, at least appraisers are welcome in a house. So I couldn't imagine going to a house where you're not welcome. That's a whole nother level of customer service you need to deal with. That's not something really appraisers need to come and deal with, is not being welcome.
Exactly. But just, you know, you're in somebody's home. It is unique. It is a unique part of professionalism that that can be challenging at times, because I know going into someone's home, I didn't always feel that comfortable. I'm somewhere new. I've never been there before. And then, of course, you're dealing with somebody that you're trying to sell a service to. Now, I know that appraisers, they've already gotten the order and they're there. But I know you've told me about situations where, let's say it's a divorce, where one person doesn't want you there and the other person needs you there.
Yes, that's right. With divorce situation. Yeah, that happens. Yeah. That does happen where you're not wanted by one party. So that does happen.
Yeah. So what's your unprofessional story? I mean, did you ever have a moment where you felt like you might have lost your professionalism, or you learned the hard way that, oh, I need to be more professional, or anything of that nature, or have you always just been? I know,
surely I'm not perfect, but I do always put my reputation first. So that is so important to me and my business, because I don't want to be tarnished or like have that negativity out there that such and such happened on appraisal. But there's been times when, I've not been professional, like almost like. When bullshitting with like a homeowner or something like that, sometimes, you try and strike up a conversation or whatever. And sometimes it comes off as, in hindsight, you were unprofessional because you were maybe talking about a certain subject or something like that when you shouldn't have been. And afterwards you're like, man, I probably shouldn't have brought that up. But in the moment you're trying to connect with the person, and those are probably, that's probably most, if I look back, where I've been maybe unprofessional, but didn't, in hindsight, I just did it in the moment, and afterwards, like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. But as far as something at an appointment that's been really hurt me professional wise, I don't think anything. I don't think there hasn't been any negative reviews or anything like that, which I'm very, very fortunate. But I do try and put professionalism first and my reputation first when I'm meeting with the client or customer.
You know, I think about professionalism and that reputation, and it's getting harder and harder because people like to go on social media these days and just vent at any little thing that happens. And, you know, when I started my business in 1999, it wasn't that prominent that someone would go online. We had dial up back then. And so, now it's serious business. You really have a reputation and make sure that you don't any of your customers, because one bad review can set you back. And I'm the type of person that uses reviews all the time. When I'm looking for a service, I'll go online and start reading the reviews below just to see, look, one bad review is not going to turn me off. But if there's a consistent pattern of something, like somebody shows up late all the time, or they're arrogant, or they didn't care about you, or they didn't listen to you, then I might think, I don't want to go there. I don't want to use this service. So
you're totally correct. When I'm looking for a product or service out there, even like a restaurant or something, like I'm automatically going to the 5-star ones. That's it. Like if you have the most reviews and 5 stars, I'll skim through some of them. But if you've got like 3.5 stars or whatever, it's like I'm automatically skipping over you.
Oh yeah. And so
those Google reviews are so important, at least for my business, because somebody's hiring me because of those reviews. So when I'm quoting a price, they already picked me based in their mind, and I'm just confirming that pick for them. And a lot of times you don't need to negotiate on prices often, because they already almost picked you based on your reviews, and they're just, just shoring up the business by making that appointment with you. So reviews are so important like that. So it's funny you brought up reviews. So I saved a couple of reviews that I've come across from other appraiser companies. I'm not going to say the person's name or anything like that, but I just wanted you just to read a few what's out there on these appraisers' profiles, which is hurting their business. And it's, people aren't calling them probably because of these negative reviews. And then after that, I want to talk about, how to respond and stuff like that. One of these, why choose him? I don't know. First, he did not come out to do the job himself. He signed off on all the documents and he never even went there. The value was lower than I bought the home for. That made a comment that my house was older than it was. So this guy got that wrong. They go, He is so unprofessional. One of the most self-centered individuals I've ever met in a business. And it goes on. It goes on for 2.5 paragraphs about him and his professionalism. Another review from another company. This owner's out of touch with current real estate. That's very funny because that person probably got a value lower than they thought.
Yeah,
that's a funny comment. It sucks, but it's a funny comment. By far the worst appraiser in town. Sure, that you can't quantify the worst appraiser in town, but those are on his Google reviews, which are terrible.
Yeah, and those are three all on the same person, right? And
those were two different appraisers.
Oh, dude, okay.
This is another one. I've never used this company. Worst appraisal company ever. This company's a scam. Incompetent. This guy lied about when the report would be due. Horrible experience. Undervalued my home. These people are working for the banks and not you. That's true. We are working for the banks sometimes. Do not use them. So the theme I saw here, nobody responded. The owner didn't respond to these comments. So if you have a negative review, the best thing you can do is comment and say, I'm so sorry that it didn't work out. I offered you to reach out to you or whatever the case may be. This is not indicative of our company. I apologize. Something to that effect. But not one of these appraisers, you know, commented. And that's a simple thing is commenting. Like, sure, nobody's immune to a bad review. Like, somebody can leave a bad review for me tomorrow because they don't like my value. But I try and limit that by saying to them, like, hey, yeah, I understand you disagree with my value, but here, call me up and I'll explain to you how I came up with that value. And hopefully you understand the process and don't leave me a negative review. So, but this, you have to respond to reviews. Even if they're negative, you have to do that.
Yeah, I think it's good when I see that all the time. And I like that too. And you know, like one time I was looking for a hotel in an area that all the hotels were booked out. And there was only a couple left that had, and a lot of them had negative reviews. And I saw one though, where, you know, the hotel management would respond after each one to say, hey, you know, we're sorry you had a bad experience. We were going through construction at the time. Oh, and then they also, though, responded to the positive reviews and say, thank you. You know, we appreciate you. And to me, that just shows. And I chose that one because it shows that you're engaged with your clientele, that it's important to you and that your clients are important to you. So responding to reviews, I think are important, whether they're good or bad reviews. I think they're very valuable.
Totally correct. I respond to positive ones or to the positive ones as well. Every review I send a comment like, I appreciate the review. Thank you very much. Hopefully the house sells in whatever the time period you want it or whatever the case may be. So I agree. Totally agree. And it's good. And even if you have a negative review and you respond, people can weed out, can see that, hey, you got a couple negative reviews, but these people were lunatics. Like, you can see, like, your response is in line, but the person's comment was like they were irate that day or something like that. So it's always good to respond.
True.
And then while we're talking about communication in responding, a lot of times on this network, we have appraisers sending out referrals to other appraisers. And people aren't even responding sometimes. They're like, it's the simple thing of almost like answering a phone call or returning a message or returning an email. It's almost like a lost, it's almost lost as like, this is like business 101. You shouldn't be, that's the bare minimum to entry is answering your phone call, returning messages, returning emails. That's the barrier to entry. So some appraisers send out stuff to other appraisers and they're not even responding. It's crazy. You know, why are you putting yourself in a position where you want work and complaining that you're not busy and yet you can't answer a phone call or respond to an email? It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's an important point. I was taught by when I owned a franchise, our business development director, I always said, you know, it's okay to turn down business, but it's not okay to turn away business. And what he meant by that was if somebody calls you looking for help and either you're too busy, you don't have them, you don't offer those services, don't just ignore them. You know, let them know that, hey, okay, and even if it's just a follow-up to say that that's out of my wheelhouse and I really don't know who to refer, but maybe try looking here. But if you just, and that it takes a second to respond to an email like that or to a phone call like that. And it's, you know, if somebody calls and leaves you a message and it's something that you can't do because it's out of what your service is and you can't refer somebody either, which you should be able to now because you have refer appraisers, but but you know, it's you know, you can turn the business down, but don't turn it away. Don't just ignore it. It's really professional to answer that call to say, and if you can help somebody with their problems, it just shows. I know, you know, I used to get a lot of phone calls because people would assume that my company was one that might supply wheelchairs and beds and things like that. And I'd always say, no, we don't do that, but let me help you. You know, I know somebody who's reputable. By setting them up and sending that referral out, that person would go back to the referral source and say, hey, this guy was great. He didn't get any business from me and he still helped me. And it just builds your community reputation, which is really important.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. So that's what I started doing in my business years ago is like doing those referrals, sending them out to other appraisers. If I can't help a client who calls me, I get a lot of calls for personal property. Instead of saying I don't do that, I refer them to a personal property appraiser. Or the commercial stuff I get that I don't do, I refer that to another appraiser. And it shows I'm helping that customer who called me. Even if I've never dealt with them before, if they found me on Google and called me, I'm going to help them out and be and show that professionalism. And I get reviews from people that I didn't help or I couldn't do the appraisal for, but I referred them to some other people. And they're like, oh, Dan was great. He talked about X, Y, and Z and referred me to somebody else. I would absolutely hire him again or something like that. So it pays. And once you get in that mindset of always trying to always helping a client or a potential client, it's going to come through in everything that you do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. And, you know, think about it like this, too. You're not just helping a client. You're helping another business, too. And, you know, that business may have not gotten that job from you if you didn't give them that referral. So also professionalism is realizing too that we're kind of all in it together. You know, your competitors are also your partners in a way because the field is important and you want people to respect the field. You don't want people to think, oh God, I got to get an appraiser today because they're the worst people ever. You want people to go, oh, an appraiser? They're great. You know, most of them are professional and they're good to work with. You know, I feel like I see that a lot in real estate. Realtors always have the best headshots. You know, the every time I see a realtor, they got the great car, a good car, in a suit and tie, look so professional, and they're really wanting your business. And kind of brings to a point. I know one time, Dan, we were looking at reviews of appraisers, and didn't we read one where a guy brought it? Someone brought their kid to an appraisal.
Yes.
And then somebody wrote that he showed up with his kid. He was on a spare time. He barely took measurements. And
oh boy, that is so bad. Well, yeah, I will say, listen, I brought my kid to an appraisal before, but I preface it with the client. I'm like, hey, by the way, it's take your child to work day next week on the day of the appointment. If you don't want me to bring my child, I will go ahead and reschedule for another time. And then the people are like, oh, no, of course, no problem. That sounds really cool. Yeah, that's a great idea. But that was the only time I've ever brought my child to work. But yeah, I wouldn't bring anybody to an appointment, even if it's an apprentice with me or a trainee, unless I told the homeowner that. I'm like, oh, by the way, I will be there at 3 o'clock today and my apprentice will be with me as well. There'll be two of us, you know, measuring the house. We're going to walk through. Then we're going to take pictures. And then we'll have some questions at the end, whatever your process is. You have to prep them with that because you don't want to come across as like, oh, I was expecting one person and three people showed up. What is going on here? Or, you know, whatever the case may be.
I had a doctor appointment one time. I remember I was looking for a new primary many years ago. I was looking and I went to the doctor and I scheduled an appointment or something kind of personal, you know, and I needed to talk to him about it. And he showed up and he had five students with him. and they were all young, and they're like, oh, you know, and I'm like, I don't feel comfortable having a conversation about what's going on.
Especially with that outbreak with five people around that looking at it. Yeah, that must be super embarrassing.
Yeah, we won't talk about that, but yeah. No, but it is, it when you're going to do something, and the interesting thing about it is, afterwards, I remember I went onto our insurance website and I was like, oh, look at all these reviews. This doctor that I just went to only had like 3 stars, 3 out of 5. And then I started reading the reviews and there were about 5 other people that said, you know, I showed up there and he constantly has students with him. And it would be nice if he would have told me that or gave me the option not to, you know, have that.
Right. This is this is a teaching clinic or whatever. Yeah. We're going to have students in here, but we offer rates that are like 10% less because of that or something like that.
Exactly. Well,
at least you would have known, you know, going in there with that outbreak that you would see 5 people.
Yeah. That thing, sure. That I hope everything's all over the world.
I hope it cleared up. I hope everything's fine.
We'll see. We're still working on it. That's what the beer is for.
Oh,
but
man.
You know, that brings up a point too, is like how you show up too, right? I mean, you're going to somebody's house. I remember having an appraisal done on my property, and the appraiser, you know, my experience was good. You know, he showed up, the bank sent him, he showed up, he was good, professional, you know, and I trusted the process. You know, the guy shows up, he showed like his card, left his card on the thing, explained to me exactly what to do. Like, hey, I got to go upstairs. I got to take measurements. I need to look at this. And that's important because it's not the thing with an appraiser. It's not something you do all the time. This is not, it's new, you know, and it's something that's happens all the time.
The lending side, you're the only representative from the bank that these people are ever going to see, mm-hmm. or the mortgage company. You're the only person that they're going to see. They don't deal with the mortgage broker in person. They don't deal with any of maybe the title company they may see in person, but you're the only person going to that house. So you're almost representing the bank when you do lending work.
Yeah.
But when I do private work and lending work, it's the same process for me. One, the attire. I know appraisers, I've read in the forums what a lot of appraisers wear to appointments or whatever. Listen, you can do whatever you want with your business and where you're located. That's awesome. But for me in South Florida, I wear khakis, not dress. I almost wear dress shoes like boots. And I wear my polo shirt with a logo on it and a belt, yeah. tucked in with a belt. I do that for every appointment. I've started doing that basically when I wanted to get into private work 10 years ago. That's been my attire every time I show up to an appointment. And that works for me and my business. And that's what I want to convey to my clients and potential clients. So appraisers, think about what you're wearing. Whatever works for you, but you know, keep it professional. And that's, you know, that's where some referrals start, is like by you meeting somebody who can be a potential referral source. So I wanted to present myself a little bit better when I started trying to capture all this private work. When I just did bank work, I wore khaki shorts in tucked-in shirt. That's what I pretty much wore. I've always had a polo shirt. I've always worn that. But even like the appointment times, like showing up when you're scheduled to be there, not showing up late, or texting them if you are running late. I always do my, for the appraisers there, I always schedule an appointment. Let's just say it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll leave an hour before the appointment, even if it's close by. I'll do my comp photos first. And so I can time it perfectly when I get to the home. And I like to be at least like a couple minutes early. Because if you're not early, you're late, I think. Yeah. So yeah. I do like to build in my comps first, taking those pictures, because then I can actually be on time and I'm not rushing around to the appointment. And then I show up, greet the homeowner. I'm saying I'm going to start on the outside, taking some pictures and some measurements, spend, you know, 10, 15 minutes out there, and then I'll come inside. And then when I'm ready to come inside, I always say, do you want me to take my shoes off? If they say yes, whatever, I take them off, no big deal. If not, I make sure they're clean and walk through the house. I tell them I'm going to walk around the house once, take a look at all the rooms, and then I'm going to walk around a second time to take photographs. So I walk around twice to get a good observation. And then I said I'll have some questions at the end. And most importantly, I say, is there anybody sleeping in any of the bedrooms? Because I don't want to disturb anybody or the appraiser walking in on something that he shouldn't, which I have a lot of stories on that. So,
yeah, those stories might be for a different podcast, but
Yeah. Well, I've seen people smoke weed. I've seen other fornication happening before. I've seen lots of people, some people getting out of the bathroom. It's just not like, it's just like, it's,
yeah. And I can,
it's imagine, almost funny,
you know, and even like when I was in the home health business, I figured at one time I was probably in 1,000 different homes, you know, just the because you have to go into the home to set the person up with the service and you see so many different things. But the consistency is really important. Have a routine and have it down. Like you just said, like, I like the fact when people show up for something and they have a logo of some sort and or a badge, a
business card. And I give them a business card as well. I do that in every point.
Yeah. Leave your business card or hand it to somebody so that, hey, this is who I am. And you know, if you have a business, cause when I started to get bigger, I had employees that would go out and do this. You know, I might be the person on the phone closing the sale, setting it, you know, okay, we're going to set you up with home care and then send out one of my employees. I think it's also important if you're a business owner to let the person know, hey, it's not going to be me that's going to show up. It's going to be, you know, John, our appraiser, and he's going to, you know.
And that is so important. Like, I'm not saying you need to do a site inspection yourself, but you can prep your customer and be like, hey, by the way, my apprentice is going to go there or trainee is going to go there and measure the property. And he's going to be collecting all the data, but I'm going to be the one analyzing it all. Or I'm going to send somebody else out there, or it's going to be me. So that's really important to do. So you can set their expectations. The biggest problem happens when people have unmet expectations. You know, they're expecting something else and you don't prep them otherwise.
In the appraisal business too, do you feel like the customers have high expectations? I know from my end, it's like, you know, we all want that high appraisal, you know, and it's like, I have very high expectations. And then you're mad at the person if it doesn't come in where you're at. And that's hard to maintain professionalism sometimes too, you know, right?
Yeah. So a lot of times people have only do appraisals, like it may be like one or two times in their lifetime or whatever, maybe like these homeowners. So they don't know the process. So a lot of times it's education when you're there. It's like, okay, tell them what you're going to do. And then at the end, I always tell them like, okay, I'm going to go ahead. I'll write up the report. I'm going to compare your property is going to be compared to the other homes in the neighborhood, the recent sales. Then we make adjustments for any differences. And then when I'm done, I'm going to send you the report to you and the attorney at the same time or whatever the case may be, or to the bank. And then the bank will share it with you, whatever type of assignment is, because they don't know about the process. That's what I find, like, is most homeowners aren't educated about the appraisal process. And I think that's a disservice from like local appraisers in their market. Like, hey, you need to educate everybody in your area, like what an appraisal is, because that's kind of hurting our profession, is everybody assuming they know what appraisers do, or, you know, not understanding what we do. And I think that's the biggest problem, especially with what's going on now in the profession with like bias and stuff like that.
Yeah. And how they're going to do it. Right. Because I even think about the time I had a 4-point inspection for the hurricane for my insurance. And I called the company and the guy showed up. It was a very unprofessional experience. Had no badge, no nothing. Came, you know, like shorts, t-shirt, and just like, hey, I'm here for the inspection. And I'm like, oh, what company are you with? And you know, I had to ask him all these questions. Never explained to me what he was going to do. Blah blah blah. Then when I renewed it, Dan referred me a great company, and they came out and they were very professional. They put a sticker on my hot water heater, like, hey, we looked at this. We looked at your garage door. We did this. We did that. And they were super professional and left a card. And then, you know, they called me first to tell me, hey, your report's going to come in and this is what's in it. Because there were some things that I needed to fix. And I got a call.
So you're not blindsided. Like,
yeah, I was like, holy cow, look at this. I'm not going to get my insurance discount. It was like, okay, there's a, you know, in order for us to pass this inspection, you need to fix this, this, and this. And that was helpful. So, you know, it's just that level of professionalism, realizing that, you know, obviously you're going out there, this is your business, you're going to get paid to do it. But the customer on the other end, this is a one one or two time thing in their life, and they don't know what this is all about. So, you know, that's very key to explaining things to people as well.
Yeah, and then you set the expectations for them, and so now they know this is how the appraisal is supposed to go. So I find a lot of my clients, they have a pleasant experience because I let them know what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. So, and that's half the battle right there. And that's what it leads to good customer service. That leads to referrals. That leads to everything. So, regarding that, let's get on the topic of social media.
Yeah.
So I wanted to definitely talk about social media and how you portray yourself and your business to the public, because I feel like that is a big avenue where people go wrong. Like, I have my personal Facebook page. Listen, I choose not to post about anything, politics, religion, or even have posts with me doing it, like anything inappropriate, like having like a party or something and drinks flowing or whatever. I don't want my image out there like that. So I'm very cognizant of what's posted on social media. And I feel like as soon as it's out there in social media, anybody can search it at any time and it could impact your business. And back to my reputation, I don't want to tarnish that with my business because, listen, I'm the only one earning income in my family. I don't want anything to hurt that. So what have you seen on social media, Chris, about like businesses and posting, especially right now as we get towards election day?
Yeah, we could start with the news of the week too, which is I don't know. I'm sure a lot of our listeners saw this. I might have seen this. There was an incident that just happened where a young man was leaving a Baltimore Ravens game. And his buddy was walking behind him live streaming, and he's like, "I'm looking for Redskins fans to beat up and fight," and started, you know, pushing, fighting. So I saw this clip of this, and then the very next thing underneath, I saw a picture of his LinkedIn page and said, hey, social media, you know what to do. I searched 2 days later and found out that the local news covered it. He got fired from his job. He was an insurance agent too, I think. And wow. You know, that's an extreme case, but it's those things where when you're out having a good time, you know, I tell my kids this too, because I have a son who's in a fraternity and he's at college, and I always tell him, like, look, you know, what you do could be captured forever. So you're at a party, you know, and people are fighting, acting crazy, doing things like that, you could end up on camera and not even knowing it. So that, you know, that's, I wouldn't even say the extreme. It happens all the time. But, you know, on the other side, as we get, you know, like you said, close to an election and things like that, yeah, I don't see things wrong from time to time with retweeting things, liking things, posting some of your political views. But it's the trashing of others, separating yourself from others, where people think, well, I don't know if I want to do business with this person because they're either extreme. But one other thing that I think is also important, I see a lot, and as I joined a lot of these groups, especially appraiser groups on Facebook, is the way people treat each other. I mean, people come in, they ask a question, and they just get roasted. And it's like, how, you know, and I see that on all kinds of things, from sports to business. But when it comes to business, you know, you have someone out there, and let's say the question is something that they should know. What's the sense in going and cutting that person down? I just don't understand that. You know, it doesn't help you. It might make you feel like, oh yeah, I know so much, but it doesn't help you at all. Yeah, I look at that and go, I wouldn't do business with that guy.
No kidding. Like there's some of these groups set up to like ask questions by like realtors ask questions, and then there's appraisers answer. Then there's some appraiser only groups that appraisers ask questions with their colleagues. But yeah, the professionalism in those groups sometimes is like really, really sad. And there are so many times where I'm posting a comment, like trying to post a comment that I think is really like valuable to the discussion. And I'm like, geez, I don't want to post that comment. Then I'm going to get friggin' targeted by all these people. It's like delete, 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 delete. Like, it's like how you treat your colleagues and how you treat, like, if you can't treat your colleagues well, why the fuck are you going to treat your client well? It's like, exactly. How these people are your compadres or whatever, and you're treating them like shit. How are you going to treat your client? It's like, how do you treat? I don't understand it. Like, I've gotten some weird ass emails and some comments back with trying to advertise for the referral network. It's like, what is wrong with you? Why even respond? Just click unsubscribe. What the heck is wrong with you people?
Stop, yeah, I think we got one.
Stop
one time.
Getting so angry and just it's like unsubscribe. That's all you gotta do. I'm sorry you don't like the weekly newsletter. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I try to provide some value out there and try and get the word out for the network and try and provide help people grow their business. I'm sorry if you're upset with that. You just hit unsubscribe. You don't need to spew out vulgarity and stuff with a response.
I think we had one time. Didn't somebody respond with the way they let it was, "Hey dipshit, why did I get this?" or something. And we had a laugh about
that. That was really funny. I saved it because it was just so funny. The fuck are you responding this to a colleague? It's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I would never dream of treating a colleague like that. I may think it in my mind sometimes, but like, I don't hit send.
Yeah.
So it's just,
you know, one thing that I learned, and you know, my wife is in business too, and she owns her own private practice, and it's a pediatric therapy practice, and she deals a lot of times with angry parents, you know, and rightfully so, you know, they're dealing with a lot, and therapy doesn't always go the way it is, and she always feels the need to respond right away, and sometimes she gets some nasty emails from people. It's not always parents, even, it's other vendors or therapists there or whatever, and I've told her, I said, you know, take a 12 to 24 hour time frame to respond. You know, I've had that before too, where somebody sent me something and it might not even be a negative email or I shouldn't say negative, where they're being unprofessional, but I may totally disagree with what they're saying. Like, wait, I did everything exactly the way it should have been done and you're not liking it. And my first response is to go hurt. You know, sometimes what I do is I type what I want to say on Word and I save it. And then I go type a more professional email somewhere else. And I've learned, because I've made that mistake at first to, you know, like, hey, wait, we did the best job for you. And how dare you call us a bad service and hit send. And now you can't unsend that. You know? So take a moment. If you're upset about something or you get something that you're not sure on what it is, like, take time to figure it out before you just say, "Hey, dipshit."
my God.
You know, that's it.
All right. So I don't know if we did not speak about this beforehand, but this literally just happened yesterday. So I completed two divorce appraisals. It was for a couple getting divorced. They both had premarital properties. One was you needed the value as of the date of marriage for both properties, and then the value as of the date they filed for divorce. So it's basically four appraisals. And I complete the appraisals and I send them off to, because they both agreed to use me, I send them off to the husband and wife and then both attorneys. 10 minutes later, I get a response from the wife. She's like, yeah, my value as of the date of data filing is not accurate. That's way too high. And then you considered this new roof in it as well. And I'm like, and then she's like, I'm going to share this with my attorney and the mediator. I'm like, okay, your attorney already has it because she was on the email. And I'm thinking like, I can't review an appraisal as an appraiser in 10 minutes. How the fuck did you review an appraisal and just come back and send me that email 10 minutes later? Yeah. There's no freaking way. You just saw a picture of the house that was present day and the value was almost like as of a year ago, and then saw the value and then shot off the email to me. I'm like, all right, Dan, I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to respond right now. I waited till, this was at like 5 o'clock at night. I waited till the next morning, 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. and I responded to her. I put in my response in ChatGPT. I'm like, this is my response. Yeah, and then I'm like, make it friendly.
Yeah.
Make it professional and friendly.
Yeah.
And it was very good. It was like, hey, I'm so sorry you disagree with the opinion of value. I'd be happy to review the report with you, which I would be, and to go over it so you can understand how I got to that value. Regarding the roof on your property, just let you know that it was not included in the value because it was added after the effective date. You can find that on page 9 and 11 of the PDF, and then additional on page 19 or whatever. So, and then after that, I got an email response from her. Thank you for taking the time to respond to me. I went through the report with my sister-in-law, who happens to be a realtor, and I understand. I was just upset because I didn't know why my neighborhood appreciated more than my ex's neighborhood or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm still here if you need me. Yeah, neighborhoods appreciate at different rates. I'm here if you need to discuss anything. So me being like pissed off and waiting made all the difference, a few hours later.
It does. Yeah, it really does. And it's that, when you respond to something very professionally, you think about it, like Dan and I are both married in relationships, and sometimes, you have that, you disagree on something, and your first thought is to get on the text and but you wait a little bit and kind of think things through and let your emotions simmer down. It's the same thing with responding to customers who disagree with you. And I think, like the appraiser field, like a lot of fields, you're a professional and you feel very strong about who you are, and you put a lot of work into what you do. And then all of a sudden someone comes and questions you and they've never done this. And like you said, within 10 minutes, you're going to question me. What the heck, and you want to think, you want to respond with, hey, why would you even question me? I'm the professional here.
Read the fucking report. The report. It'll answer all your freaking questions.
Yeah, exactly.
But, appraisers are very prone to being offended by people questioning their value because we're independent, impartial, objective, and we give our opinion as our career. We have to give our opinion. So we're pissed when people disagree with our opinion. And I get upset. I'm like, I get upset, not with the client, but I still get upset when people disagree. I'm like, how do you disagree? This is the data. I'm just interpreting it. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I don't know, but you have to. But waiting is so valuable. Yeah, it is valuable waiting. Because, the next morning I was calm. But that whole time yesterday, I was freaking irritated for like an hour or two afterwards. I'm like, what is wrong with this person? Why is she doing this?
I think that's one of the best tips out there is, give things time to respond. I feel like in today's world too of technology, everybody expects and everybody thinks they need to respond right away. And you also have to sort of set that boundary. Like, I'm not going to respond at 10 o'clock at night. I have things in my professional career sometimes where I'm shocked where I get something at midnight, and somebody asking me a question. And it's like, and then follow up with me at 7 in the morning. Like, hey, did you get that text from last night? And I'm like, you mean in the AM? When I was in bed? Can you give me a second to get a cup of coffee and my shoes on? And once you kind of do that, and sometimes I even put that out there, like, I respond to emails, within 24 hours, or, let people know that I'm here. But, you have to give it time to think things through as well. So, but yeah, great tip. So, all right.
So I think that does it on professionalism. I think that's going to wrap this episode. Appraisers, just, be cognizant of being professional with your clients out there and when you're at appointments. And hopefully you guys found some value in this episode, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yep. And I hope you had some beers with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Chris, I'll catch you later.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for joining us on the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found some value in it, which you can apply to your appraisal business. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave a review. It really helps us reach more appraisers like you. For more tips and to connect with other appraisers, visit referappraisals.com. Until next time, keep brewing up success in your business, and I'll catch you on the next episode.